Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I failed origami. In our lessons today, we begin to learn about how God is moving through this new church. Jesus is about to ascend, and he says again to the disciples who are anxious and worried, "Peace be with you, but I will not leave you alone. I will give you the Paraclete, the Advocate." Now, there's been lots of biblical work done over the years about what exactly Jesus means. An advocate is a juridical term. It comes from the legal profession. It means the one who will stand by you and speak for you, your defense attorney. But it's more than that. The disciples will begin to understand that this gift that God has given them will lead them into places that they never expected. Paul, this paragon of the Jewish religion who had set out to persecute those who were part of the way, to truly get them off the way and out of the way, found himself on the road to Damascus where he was changed. He didn't expect God to come to him in that way. And soon we find Paul on the road to Samothrace and Neapolis, and there he'll meet Lydia, a dyer of purple cloth, a woman, a businesswoman. Not what he expected. And that Paraclete, that Holy Spirit, will blow, and she and her household will be baptized, and a new ministry will begin, and she will even compel Paul to come and eat with her. Something he never expected. That's what God is about in these lessons for today. Taking us to places we did not expect. I've just returned from such a place. I came home this morning at 1:30 in the morning. Thank you, United Airlines. From our Synod Assembly. Now, if you know me very well, you'll know that Synod Assemblies are, frankly, among my least favorite things to do. About the first five or six were really great. The next 15 have proven to be really a bummer. One gets rather tired of going to the same Synod Assembly, hearing the same people from Thrivent give the same report that they've given for 20 years, just using a different name. But this assembly, it was different. It was different. First, it was an election of a bishop, which you don't really get to do that often, but you know, the thing about being a bishop is that you're being called by the Holy Spirit to lead the people of God, which is sort of like saying we're going to give you the job of herding all the cats in Hawaii and California. And so I was put on the nominating committee to search out possible candidates who might be willing to serve God as a bishop. I'm telling you, never again. You have to have a certain self-confidence and sense of yourself to be on that nominating committee, because every single pastor you ask, could I please forward your name to be bishop of our synod? And without even a moment's hesitation, no. Absolutely not. So, we came to the first ballot, and our presiding bishop, Bishop Mark Hansen, stood up among all of these people and called us to prayer. He told the story of a stole that he stood and held in his hands, and he said, "Years ago, when I presided over a bishop's election in Pennsylvania, a congregation had taken upon themselves to sew prayer stoles for every single person at that assembly. And every time we were ready to vote, we were asked to put those stoles on our shoulders to receive the mantle of prayer and pray. And he said they did. And he said, and every single synod assembly at which I have presided over a bishop's election, I have always brought this stole, and before each time that we vote, I place it on my shoulders and I call you to prayer. And we did. And we took the first ballot. Now, normally with an incumbent bishop, you usually will elect that bishop on the first ballot, and then you can all go home and it's all good. Well, being on the nominating committee, I was also on the election committee, which means that I also counted the ballots together with five or six other people, and they took the first vote, and there were like 30 names or something. I don't remember what it was. Some ridiculous number of names, including I put my friend, I think you'd make a great bishop someday, but I put my friend from Kansas City on that list. I hope he doesn't listen to this podcast. He'll know who did it. And from that list, then we did not have an election. None of the candidates got enough votes. And so we went back and we called on the Holy Spirit and we prayed. And Bishop Hansen laid over his shoulders that stole and we prayed together for the guidance of the Holy Spirit and we voted again. And my little committee hauled back with our ballots in our hands and we sat and we counted and we counted and we counted and we counted. No election. Now if you're the sitting bishop, you're getting a little nervous at this point. And you're thinking to yourself, I wonder what other calls are available for me out there. And so we went back and we prayed. And we prayed. And we heard scripture and we got rooted in the word together and we sang and we called on the name of the Lord and we heard from the stories of the young people in Africa and the Invisible Children's Project, about the work that Lutheran World Relief is doing. And then the bishop placed on his shoulders the stole, and we prayed together and we voted. And my little committee ran back to our little room called the lower room. And we counted. And I was sure, surely this time. Right? Surely this time. We're down to three candidates. How could we possibly go wrong? And we counted and we counted and we counted. No election. And then we prayed some more. So finally, we got down to the fourth ballot. And it was down to just three candidates. We'd heard from them. We'd heard their speeches. We heard about their vision for the next 6 years in the synod. Some really crazy questions were asked, you know. Can you imagine answering questions? It's like going to an interview. What is your vision for the ministry of the Pacifica Synod over the next 6 years? I don't know. I just got nominated. And we prayed. And Bishop Hansen, what a remarkable man. Laid that stole on his shoulders and we prayed and we voted. And then my little committee went back into the lower room and we counted and we counted and we counted because now all of a sudden everybody was showing up for the election. And we got to the end. We needed 221 votes to elect. And we were 30 short. No election, Karen said. And I said, you're kidding me. This is the fourth ballot. How could this be? And then I said to her, did you count those ballots? My ballots sitting on the table over here? I don't know. So we counted again and again and again. Five times we counted the ballot. 222. Now, who cares about all of that? Except that what I found there was something I never expected to find in a synod assembly. I found people suddenly engaged in the Holy Spirit, taking seriously the work of the church, people worshiping and singing. I actually heard people singing along to, "Why me, Lord? What did I ever do?" It's terrible. But the Spirit was there. It was powerful stuff. What I was struck by was that we don't live in a dead, a dying church. We live in a church in which God has given us the gift of the advocate, the Holy Spirit. This disparate group of people from Southern California who are, you know, conservative and liberal and everything you can think, and all the weirdos from Hawaii all gathering together, worshiping the same God. Gloria Espeth said, "I'm sick and tired of hearing about the dying church. If God is among us, how can we be dying?" The other beautiful thing was that we spent 3 days talking about mission and life and the Holy Spirit and the exciting things that are happening in Africa and Appalachia, the ways in which we are gathered together in the Holy Spirit in prayer and worship and word, how we strike those constant chords of God's blessings and sacraments together, and not once did we talk about sex. First time in 14 years. Not once. We simply decided that the Spirit had led us where God had led us, and now we're ready to do ministry. Last week, 50 of you gathered in this place, in the same kind of gathering, to begin to try and understand what it is that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, that Advocate is doing in and through us in this place. It was just as exciting. What's really neat is that even staid old Lutherans, and trust me, we were old, right? That's the thing about Synod Assemblies. You look over the Synod Assembly, and if there is hair, it's gray, and it's not just the men who are bald. Okay. And yet popping up in the midst of it were these young people reminding us we're here. That's what's happening for us as it happened for Paul, for the disciples. We are been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and God is calling us into places we did not expect. To Neapolis and Thyatira, to Waianae, to Makiki, to the whole world. And God is leading us as God's disciples and giving us this gift. I think this is a wonderfully exciting time to be the church in the world. It is a wonderful time to be bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone. So this day, for the first time in, I think, probably 15 years, I'm coming home from a synod assembly realizing that God is in our midst. And that we are not standing on the edge of a grave, but on the border of the great city, where we are being called to the river of life, where we will pluck the 12 fruits and be washed in the waters of baptism, and where we will become that new Jerusalem. And so I bid you, in the words of Paul, to remember, you have been called. Amen.